You need money. You'll lose your job.
Wait. It's not the right guy. It's too early. Wait.
Wait. Take your time. Why?
Wait.
Why?
Wait.
Why?
Wait.
Why?
Wait.
The Why Wait Agenda.
Hi, and welcome to this very first episode of the Why Wait Agenda podcast. I'm Eleonora Voltolina. I'm a journalist and the founder of the Why Wait Agenda initiative, indeed. In this podcast, we'll talk about having children or not having children, being able to have children, being able to choose whether to have children or not, and of course, to decide when to have them. Everything related to the so-called fertility gap, which is how demographers and researchers call the gap between how many children people would like to have and how many children people do actually have. People all over the world are having fewer children than in the past. That's nothing new. This may be a good news when it comes to underdeveloped countries where the high birth rate is almost always related to an high child mortality rate, high child labor rate, low women's education rate, poor access to Planned Parenthood and birth control, low average wages and general lack of gender equality. It's not so good a news, however, in developed countries where the fertility rate sharply declined in the last decade or had already fallen even before that, and it doesn't seem to recover. And these developed countries are hence experiencing what's called a demographic winter. While the fertility rate in Italy was around 2.5 in the late 60s, it has dropped to 1.25 in 2021. Almost the same in Switzerland, 2.3 in the 60s, 1.46 in 2020. I mention these two countries for they're the one I was born and raised in and the one I currently live in. But we could apply the same lens and find out almost the same figures to more or less any European country. So well established that the fertility rate is falling in almost every developed country, there's a key question. Is the people's desire of having children falling too? Do we have fewer children because we want fewer children? Not exactly. And that's the whole point. There's a lot of reasons behind the decrease of fertility rate. Some of them are personal and therefore legitimate and rightful, no matter what. If people do not want children, they should be always able not to have children. And no one should feel entitled to criticize. Funnily enough, we're not advocating for parenthood. This podcast and the whole Why Wait Agenda initiative is proudly secular, non-religious, and we stay clear from all the pro-life balloonay on fertility, children as the whole point of life, women as blessed with the gift of being able to bear children, and so on. We are pro-choice, without any doubt or hesitation. At the Why Wait Agenda, we don't want people to have more kids, in fact, or to have kids at all. We just want people to be able to have the kids they want to have if they happen to want to have kids. And here's the catch. In the vast majority of countries, Italy and Switzerland included, when asked how many kids they would want, people in average will answer 2. So why on earth don't we have the children we'd like to have? Sadly, a lot of the reasons pushing people not to have children aren't really people's choices. Many of these reasons have their roots elsewhere. We can't have children for we can't afford them. For we haven't got childcare to enroll them in when we have to go back to work. For maternity leaves are not always granted and paternity leaves are a joke in most countries, including Italy and Switzerland again. For mothers are still discriminated in the labor market. For example, here's the experience of Eleonora, not me, another Eleonora. She's been for a long time a journalist for an important Italian newspaper. And her reason was money, her career, and finding the right partner. After watching the TEDx talk I gave earlier this year, which can be found on YouTube under the title The Fertility Gap, Why Don't We Have the Kids We'd Like to Have?, Eleonora decided to send a message to the Why Wait Agenda podcast to share her experience and ignite the conversation. Let's hear it.
I had my first baby as soon as I turned 40. I do consider myself a lucky person. I have a stable and quite well-paid job, and I got it 11 years ago. So why wouldn't I choose to become a mom in my 30s? Well, money is for sure necessary to start a family. But during my 30s, my job required me a lot of time and concentration, and I wanted to be rewarded and recognized in my working environment. I did not desire to take care of a baby who, in the vision that I had at that time, would have prevented me from reaching goals I was fighting for. In addition, my job is really competitive, and I wanted to prove myself I could get what I dreamt of. The relationships I had at that time fit all this. I now recognize I chose partners who were not focused on our future. So, no plans, no kids, no effective stability. Then, at one point, this picture started to fall apart. I wanted something different from my life. I wanted by my side a person to feel safe with. I started to need more time for myself and less time working. I have been lucky, yes. I met a person I wanted to share my values and time. And through medically assisted procreation, we had our baby. We both have been lucky and we are aware we are not young parents. But the time for us was then. I think that for women who want to follow their career, it is hard to have kids early, at least in Italy. And if you do not have your parents to help, well, life can be quite expensive. And yes, at that point, money is crucial.
Money is crucial. That's an hard truth. And so is another of the things Eleonora's voice message focuses on. The fact that we can find love and a partner we feel is the right one to start a family with later in life. And if so, especially if the woman's pushing 40, the time remaining to actually start a family is not so much. How many of us found love later in life? 50 years ago, or even just 30 years ago, our parents and grandparents used to get married in their 20s. Not so many women had higher education, and if they did, they usually ended up working women's job, with short hours and low responsibilities and low incomes. Divorce was almost unheard of. Now, we marry later, if at all. Blended families are the norm rather than the exception. Women hold tight to their careers, reflections of how hard they studied, how hard we've studied. Eleonora states it clearly. In her 30s, she had this vision of a baby as something that would have prevented her from reaching the career goals she was fighting for. In Eleonora's words, for women who want to follow their career, it is hard to have kids early, at least in Italy. No, Eleonora, not just in Italy, I would add. Money and pressures of the workplace and work-life balance struggles, of course. But there are also dozens of other reasons, and they all lead to the same effect. People end up giving up. They wanted two or three kids, they settle for one, or none. They bury their desire for parenthood. More often than not, it's not even a conscious decision. It's more like an implied one, not a deliberate, well-pondered choice. And again, more often than not, the way we do this is simple. We postpone. We assess the world outside and say, let's wait a minute. But then a minute becomes a year, then 5 years. And then, at some point, we find ourselves at 35, at 40, suddenly in a hurry. For, at least for women, there's not that much time left. That's usually when we find out, and I'm mostly talking about women here, that having babies is not so simple. That fertility is not the same in one's 20s, 30s, and especially 40s. that maybe we'll need medical aid, reproductive medicine, as Eleonora did. And ultimately, there's a fat chance that we won't be able to have the number of children we dreamt of, because it's too late. So, what we're gonna do with all this? We're gonna fight back. We're gonna make things right. We're gonna change the system and find a way to reduce and then erase the gap between intended and actual fertility, between how many children we dream of and how many children we do have. How? Through this podcast, through the Why Wait Agenda website, through each and every one of us, of you all, that be up for the challenge. We're gonna fight the gap through information first thing. On this podcast and in the news section of the website, we will host scientists, doctors, politicians, demographers, managers, activists. We'll talk about why we can't have children we would like to have from every point of view, compare the situation in different countries, find the best practices. Here on the Why Wait Agenda podcast, we won't shy from talking about the elephant in the room, the fact that if one starts looking for a child in their late 30s, it's more likely that their journey towards parenthood will be bumpier and slower and sometimes frustrating and even sorrowful. And if you happen to be a woman, you'll have to deal with your internal biological clock and with a lot of external pressure. On the one hand, you'll have to endure the explicit pressure from family.
I would like so much to become a grandmother.
And society. Women are meant to be mothers. If you don't have children, you miss out. And mark my words, 20 years from now, you'll regret it. On the other hand, there will be the implicit pressure not to have children too soon, because it would interfere with your career and your liability on the workplace. Well, that's not fair. We're gonna push for change, come up with proposals, new policies, able to allow people to have as many children as they want, and especially when they want them. Who says it's okay to wait if we don't want to? It's crazy that when it comes to the fertility gap and the fact that less and less babies are born each year in the Western countries, all we find in newspapers and online and on TV are public demonstrations led by far-end political movements and confessional associations. And these organizations usually advocate not just for the right to have children and to remove the obstacles that young people find on their path. But first and foremost, they advocate for the ban of abortion and contraception, as that could really be the way we'll make the birth rate rise again. Yeah, fat chance. Who says the only way to address the topic of fertility is from the pro-life, retrograde, regressive point of view? Well, here we are. The Why Wait agenda has another agenda. We want to put choice at the very center of every policy. We don't have time to spare, as a lot of women don't, while they're waiting against their will. It's time to speak out about this topic, and it's time to do it from a secular point of view. And we're gonna have now another of the very first audio messages to the Why Wait Agenda podcast voicemail. This one's from Isotta, who represents the segment of high educated, working, emancipated, self-confident women in their late 20s and early 30s that won't think about maternity as a key step to adulthood. You'll hear for yourselves, she's not even sure she wants kids. Some may think that the Why Wait agenda would not be interesting to her, and yet it is. Because every choice in life is a better choice if it's made out of awareness. If Isotta will have children or not, it's up to her and her partner. But whether she'll choose to start a family or not, the fact that she'll have the choice to contemplate these matters truly, having all the information at hand, will make her choice so more conscious, so more solid, so more hers. So, let's listen.
Do you want kids? How many kids do you want? These are questions that I find are being asked with increasingly less frequency in my circles. These are also very tough questions for me to answer because I'm somebody who has never had that kind of innate maternal instinct, whatever that may mean. I know people who declared in the early 20s that they wanted XYZ number of kids, and that was normally two, my partner included. However, even these preferences might change over time, and wanting kids is one of those desires or wishes that is incredibly hard to pin down because it often shifts depending on the craziness of our lives, our inclinations, and of course, practical and financial factors. Yet at the same time, is a desire that in many ways has an expiry date attached to it. I think it's amazing that Why Wait starts a conversation on wanting and having kids in a pro-choice perspective. This is really innovative and very much unique. What I'd like to see in this space are open discussions on different ways of having babies and different forms of motherhood or parenting. Because the question why wait applies to those who want to have kids the traditional way, so to speak, but also those who may opt for alternative routes. Even if these may be pursuable at a later stage, and I say maybe because it's not always the case, take for instance adoption, the question why wait is still deeply relevant and should definitely be asked and answered by different people from different walks of life much more often.
And yes, Isotta, we swear it. We'll open this conversation and keep it open for how long it will take to change the system. And yes, we agree that we've got to cover all bases, include as many different perspectives as we can manage in this conversation. Of course, we'll talk about adoption and assisted reproductive technologies, egg donation, and so on. As a journalist and social entrepreneur, and as an Ashoka Fellow, I believe journalism can be used as a lever to address and solve the social problems of our time, providing proper information in order to increase citizen awareness, coming forward with political and cultural innovation proposals, and also giving voice to segments of societies whose stories often remain submerged and unheard. So I'm taking Isotta's advice, and I'm inviting all of you to share your story and your point of view. You can write us telling us your story of having or not having children, of waiting for the right moment that never came, or came with maybe some difficulty. If you study these topics, if you're doing something in this field, please join us. We've got a long, intense journey ahead of us. Please, if you've come this far and think that these topics are worth spreading, do not hesitate to share this podcast with whomever you think could be interested. And if you're willing to share your story, your thoughts, or to contribute in any way to the cause, please come on the Why Wait Agenda website and find out all the way to contact us. So, that's all for now. I hope that you'll follow us from now on. This is me, Eleonora Voltolina, signing off until the next episode of the Why Wait Agenda podcast. Thank you.